Good morning. It's Gary Byron, and our next guest is the Senate Minority Leader, Len Fasano. Len, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Great. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good, good. So, a little slower, though, right now for you, right?
Yeah. You know, there's just so much. And, you know, thankfully, shows like yours are still operating, and people at Stop and Shop are doing their jobs in other places that are critical to folks' needs, and I want to thank them for continuing to work. But, you know, this is sort of a combination of 9/11 and 2008 crisis all rolled together without an end date. It is it's very difficult to get your arms around all these moving parts, and everything is moving so fast every single day.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
That's the coronavirus seems to be the dominant topic. I mean, especially with the state government shutdown and even things on a national level, it's all coronavirus, or it's coronavirus related. What was your opinion when you heard that Governor Lamont was declaring a state of emergency here in Connecticut?
Well, the first thing, you know, I will say that I think that was necessary. I read up on it. There's two different emergencies you could have, sort of like a snowstorm emergency, in which case, limited powers. And then there's this public health emergency, which gives all the powers. We don't have anything that's in between. I think that when this is all over, we need to review that statute and see if we can do something. But that being said, the legislature can't react that quickly. So you have to give the powers to someone who gets real-time information and can react very quickly. And I think that's the governor. So we did. And it's extraordinary powers. It's never happened. I mean, it happened very limited with Ebola and a couple other things, but not to this extent.
You know, I had Bob Stefanowski on the air with us just a couple of days ago, and you know, one of the things that he said was, "This is not a time for political bickering." And to his word, he really didn't. In fact, I'm even hearing some of Lamont's adversaries publicly say, "Well, you know, he's actually not doing a bad job with all things considered regarding specifically the coronavirus and his reaction." When you hear though that shopping malls are being asked to close down, amusement parks, although there's not many amusement parks that are really active, at least here in the Northeast right now. But bowling alleys, you know, to be shut down, and you're hearing about a lot of the box stores that may have more than 50 people in it at the same time, restaurants and bars. When you hear about basically our entire, well, I shouldn't say entire, most, about 80% of our commerce here in the state being shut down. What's your opinion of that? Do you think that's going overboard? Do you think that should be exactly where we should be for the time being? What's your assessment of that?
Yeah, it's a difficult assessment. I think what's happening is you have New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut trying to work together. Mm. Obviously, we share common boundaries to a large extent. Mm-hmm. And I think the argument is if you close down New York and Connecticut's not on board, people are just going to shift their business over, and that could potentially spread the virus.
Yeah.
I'm being honest with you. I have some mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. However, I will tell you, Governor Lamont has certainly informed us every step of the way. His people are on the phone with us. Every day we have a leaders update meeting. Most of it is by phone. Very few have been by email. And given us up-to-date information as things go on, if something breaks, they'll tell us. The deaths in Connecticut would be a quick call to us to let us know these issues are happening, whether spreading new cases and things of that nature. So he's done a great job in that regard. Closing as much as we've did, I think for a short time, may make some sense.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, there are real-life situations that are happening out there that are extraordinarily complicated. And we need to talk about an economic relief package directly to the businesses. And we need loans is not the answer. And we need to start thinking about that and figuring out what our end game is and how long. I mean, if you say we're going to keep this up for 5-6 months, I don't know what the economy is going to look like, either globally or certainly here in Connecticut, because there's still bills piling up. There's, you know, even though the electric has been deferred, that doesn't mean that bill doesn't get paid. You've got insurance premiums. You have mortgages and lines of credit. People at home who aren't being or aren't working have certainly financial obligations. So I think we got to start evaluating. I think we should look at it now, but I think we got to stay on top of this and figure out what the end game or exit game is. And the big problem is I'm not sure anybody can tell with any certainty when or if, not if, but when the virus will taper down. And that's the question.
Well, you said so much there let's talk about this one first. You said an end game, and that was going to be one of my questions with you this morning. Is there an end game? And number two, if there is, what does it entail? What does it consist of?
Well, I'll say that I think they're looking at this at different levels. There's the containment level. What do we have to do to contain the spread?
Mm-hmm.
There's the treatment level. We want to make sure our hospitals are working. We have enough ventilators. We take care of that whole testing issue. All that is number two. Number three, that we're just getting to now, is the economic.
Yeah.
You know, what do we have to do? What can we do to help economic? That's part of your end game, I think, and maybe as far as containment. But until we see some trends on the containment of tapering off, which we don't see at this time, we have to keep the containment issue in the front of our mind. Likewise, the business issue gets pulled into that containment issue. But eventually we have to say, okay, if this is the way the world looks 2 months from now, are we going to continue on with the strict business restrictions? And look, so many things could be a game changer. A virus is being, antivirus being tested, new facts we find out about the coronavirus. So once again, it is a moving target.
Yeah. You had mentioned 5 to 6 months. Now, when you said that, I was like, oh, because I had originally heard, up to a couple of months. And even when I heard a couple of months,
I don't want to be misquoted on that. I'm saying that. We are talking about a couple of months right now. That's the order. I want to be clear.
That's a little better than the 5 or 6. So, okay.
Right. No, that's the order. So the order's it's most like April 30th, April 27th, something around that.
Okay.
And to be reevaluated on a daily basis. So the 5 or 6 month is purely hypothetical, so no one quote me on that.
Okay.
But if it does go, then we have to think of something else. But they're reevaluating this literally every week, every day. David Lehman, who's the DEC guy, is doing a great job trying to think of something. I think you'll see some plans next week coming out on things like that. And all the way down to the mundane, which is people's licenses run out for various items.
Sure.
Installation. We have continuing education classes for electricians and plumbers. Those sort of things, zoning issues. This is immense, and we just got to figure out a game plan on how we extend all that, and we'll figure that out as the time progresses. But I think the priority of it is the containment and treatment, and then the second level we need to focus on is the business aspect of it and how we can get our economy restarted when we're ready to restart it.
Yeah, it's one thing. Once we get this contained, that we peak with the amount of people who contract the coronavirus and it levels off and then we start to decline and hopefully we get to a point where, you know, we're not reporting any new people who have contracted the virus. We can start concentrating on recovery. And to that point, I wanted to go back to something you had mentioned just a little while ago as far as businesses and individuals. I know that our Governor Ned Lamont had noted one concern is child care for parents of the hundreds of thousands of students who are sent home as schools across the state close. And as they have been closing, is, we, you know, we're hearing anywhere from 2 weeks to a month to a month and a half. I don't know if there's any schools yet who have closed, shut down for the rest of their school year. I do know that those schools who are closed, or that are closed, are doing some form of online classes or you know, school hours. Are you familiar, or are you aware of any municipalities that have just decided to shut down their, you know, their brick and mortar school for the remainder of the school year?
I am not. I'm not aware of that at all. I'm aware that they're going to do it segmentally and once again reevaluate and see where we are. We're hearing reports now that it used to be thought that this virus really is aggressive relative to ages 50, 60 and up.
Right.
We're hearing reports that perhaps that may be a lower age group. And what that means, I don't know, but it's out there a little bit that maybe some younger people are getting it. And I am finding that particularly 20-year-olds seem to believe that they're immune to this and don't understand all this quarantine stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, they've got to recognize that at least the information is that they're carriers, and they have to respect the fact that they're carriers without being asymptomatic, and therefore they have to recognize that they could be part of the transmission problem, and they should be respectful of the fact that although they don't have it, they don't think their friends have it, that they potentially could be part of the problem here, and that just has to be looked at as well. But I don't know of any schools that have closed down for the year at all. I think it's a wait-and-see approach.
Okay. My final question to you is, you know, let's say we, you know, in a month or whatever, we contain this virus, not only here in the United, you know, not only here in Connecticut, but also throughout the United States, and we're on our way to recovery, at least as far as the virus is concerned. Now let's discuss the economic impacts that's in the aftermath of it. You think about this in two ways. You think about the small businesses that have just couldn't sustain that kind of closure and end up going out of business for good. And the other thing, the other part that you think of are the people who got laid off, whether they're from mom and pop small businesses or just some of the bigger businesses that just didn't have the numbers to warrant keeping on the large staff that they once perhaps had. We're seeing an uptick of those who have filed for unemployment benefits. But what do we do, or what's part of the solution? I know you're getting new data every day and that you're working in concert and in a bipartisan way, and this is the perfect time to be working in a bipartisan way, and I think everybody is delighted to hear that you all are. But what at least are some of the options that are on the table that could be considered to help bring the Connecticut economy, particularly for small businesses, you know, back up, even if it's slowly but surely, at least it'll be heading in the right direction, but back up and running in the aftermath of this virus?
So there are a lot of ideas that are on the drawing board, ranging from extension of your permit for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially the cost of a new permit we're removing by extending it 6 months. This isn't finalized. These are things we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The SBA is going to be coming out. There's an SBA website for people to apply for SBA loan, but that's a dead instrument. And so we're also trying to figure out if there's some sort of no-interest loan that we could make that you just return the capital when you're up and running over a period of time, so it's not a loan instrument. We're also talking in terms of having an interest rate. We're also talking about maybe some equity. I don't think there's going to be one silver bullet to say, here you go, this is going to pump you up. I think you have to take all these different ideas once they get finalized and rolled out, say as a package. If I took advantage of all this, it's still going to hurt, but not as much. My fear is there's going to be a small mom and pops, particularly the restaurants and the bars, that generally are cash poor to the extent that they could probably survive a week because they live on the turnaround of their product. They're just going to say, I'm done. That's it. I'm closing my doors. I'm not going to open up.
Yeah.
And just stop business, at least in their mind, now. And that's going to have a large effect upon the economy. That's why we have to act fast. Utility companies are not going to charge any penalties or interest if you don't pay your bill. That's very helpful. We need the banks to work with us. We need the banks to tell people, look, we already told them you can't foreclose. That's good. But that does. We need to have the bank make sure that they recognize that people aren't paying because they have to feed their families first. That they can't charge penalties and interest on top of the interest. I think the bank has got, the banks have got to come to the table. And I think that's being discussed now. And if they don't, they're going to put a hurt on people and businesses. So I think this is going to be a large, all-inclusive group that everyone's got to understand. This is a unique time in history. And I mean that in very serious terms. And everyone's got to give in and make this happen. Almost put a pause button on for today, and let's just pick it up when we start again. And everything in between has to be figured out nominally as a cost. I don't know if that can happen, but that's the only way you're going to move the economy forward. I would say in the entire state of Connecticut, but certainly here in the entire United States, but certainly here in Connecticut.
Yeah, I know a pub owner, and he's been around for a while. He's not a new business. He says, Gary, he says, I make... on three nights, I probably make 50% of my yearly profits. And he says it begins with St. Patrick's Day, it goes to Cinco de Mayo, and then the night before Thanksgiving, you know, that Wednesday night before, you know, Thanksgiving. He goes, those three days or three nights make up about 50% of my profit. And it's which is interesting. And he says, no one came out on St. Patrick's Day. They couldn't. We had to be closed.
No.
So, I mean, that's one third of this, you know, and he's been around for a while. He's nervous. He's really nervous, and he's established, you know.
Exactly. And I hear that. But also, you know, he bought the liquor for St. Patrick's Day
right
before the freeze went in. Well, that bill is due in 30 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you buy liquor, you have to pay the bill in 30 days or your cash basis. So we're looking to extend that to 90 days. So this will give some opportunity without interest in our statute. We codify that. So we're looking to do something like that. So that you're right. There's a whole host of things. I got a restaurant that called me out of New Haven. They do lunch and breakfast. And he said, Len, if this goes 3 weeks, and he's been there almost 20 years, this goes 3 weeks, I'm out of business.
Yeah.
I don't have that type of float. That's serious stuff.
And to that point, that's what the small business owners are most concerned about. Or their employees that they had to lay off. You know, I mean, they can collect unemployment benefits to a certain extent and for a certain length of time. But it's these businesses, they don't want to close their doors permanently over a temporary but severe, you know, virus, which I think getting the state, once this peaks and levels off and we start having no more, cases, that, you know, these businesses can go back. By the way, how many, do we have enough testing for this virus that needs to go around? Testing, you know, kits?
I'm hearing we do. We're doing drive-up testing in many places, many hospitals.
And hospital beds, too?
I know that Governor Lamont was searching for, I think at this time we do, the question that Governor Lamont is wondering is in the future.
Okay.
Would we have it? For ventilator machines, there's a Connecticut company that's stepping up and saying, I work in Connecticut, live in Connecticut. I'm going to try to do the best I can to make sure Connecticut gets those machines. And they're in contact with